Krishna,
Krishna,
Lord Krishna,
Lord Krishna.
True,
but
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead,
Swayam,
in person,
Indrahari,
the enemies of Indra,
Vyakulam,
disturbed,
Lokam,
all the planets,
Mridayanti,
gives protection,
Yugay,
in different ages. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either Kanri portions or portions of the Kanri portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation. All the symptoms of the Supreme Truth in full are present in the person of Lord Sri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater than or equal to himself. In this stanza, the word Swayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source than himself. Although in other places the incarnations are described as Bhagavan because of their specific functions, nowhere are they declared to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this stanza, the word Swayam signifies the supremacy as the summum bonum. So, in the Sat Sandarbhas, Shiva Jiva Goswami has elaborated the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very scientifically. He has analyzed the philosophy into different elements, and then he has organized the elements in logical sequences and supported the philosophy with reference to various scriptures. So one of the pillars of the philosophy is that Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. And Jiva Goswami supports the principle with reference to various scriptures. In some places, the various incarnations are spoken of as incarnations of Vishnu. And in some places, even Krishna is mentioned as an incarnation of Vishnu. The explanation is that Vishnu is the presiding deity of the material world. Mahavishnu, and then within each universe, Garbhodakshay Vishnu and Karnodakshay Vishnu, Shirodakshay Vishnu. And as a matter of procedure. Even when Krishna descends into the material universe, he comes through Vishnu. And therefore, he can be called an incarnation of Vishnu. But the fact is that he is the origin of Vishnu. And there are many verses in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna declares that he is the origin. I am the origin of all spiritual and material worlds. All things emanate from me. And the other verse that Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, Mata Paratara Nandya, that there is no truth equal to or superior to Krishna. So, Krishna is the origin of all incarnations, the origin of all. And Jiva Goswami has confirmed the point and supported the point with reference to various scriptures from the Sankara. Now, sometimes people ask, what is the origin of Krishna? Because in the material world, everything has an origin. You can keep going further and further back, and everything has an origin. Of course, some of the modern scientists have dealt with the same question and come to the conclusion that the origin is an explosion of a chunk. Once Srila Prabhupada said, now they say, in the beginning, there was a chunk. But where the chunk came from and who made it explode, they cannot say. But the idea to find the origin, the quest to find the origin is natural to an intelligent human mind, person. Once I asked Srila Prabhupada in the morning walk in Los Angeles that, you know, when people ask, what is the origin of Krishna? What do we say? So, Srila Prabhupada replied that as far as our research has gone, Krishna is the origin of everything. Now, if you find someone who's the origin of Krishna, we'll worship him. But in the meantime, you should worship Krishna. The Sama Bona of Krishna is one without a second. He himself has expanded himself in various parts, portions, and particles as Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakash, Tad Ekatma, Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilasa, Avatar, Avesha, and jivas, all provided with innumerable energies just suitable to the respective persons and personalities. Learned scholars and transcendental subjects have carefully analyzed the Sama Bona of Krishna to have 64 principal attributes. All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentage of these attributes. But Sri Krishna is the possessor of the attributes 100%. and his personal expansions, such as Swayam Prakash, Tad Ekatma, up to the category of the avatars who are all Vishnu Tattva, possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. So, we have read the list of the 64 qualities of the nectar of devotion, and of course the nectar of devotion is the summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. So Srila Rupa Goswami details the 64 qualities again, and he says that the direct expansions of Krishna up to Lord Narayan can have up to 60 of the 64 qualities. And it appears that Srila Prabhupada has calculated that to be 93%. And, but there are four qualities that only Krishna has that no other incarnation has. And the four qualities which distinguish Krishna again confirm that he's the original personality of Godhead, because the expansions have 60 qualities or 55 qualities or 50 qualities, but none of them have all of the qualities of Krishna. And in a general way, we discussed Krishna's specific qualification yesterday. And can anyone remember the specific qualification of Krishna?
Six qualities.
Beauty.
Transcendence. Yes. I'll read the phrase because it's very eloquent. The most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Sri Krishna was his internal energetic manifestation of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. So now, what are the four qualities of the 64 qualities that only Krishna possesses? Yes? Yes, his wonderful flute playing. Yes, his extraordinary beauty that attracts even the gopis. Yes, surrounded by exceptionally exalted devotees like the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan. Yes, his special pastimes, especially the Rasa dance. But his extraordinary pastimes with his extraordinary devotees. So that is Krishna in Vrindavan, and he's the original. He only has the four qualities. He alone has the four qualities. So, his personal expansions, who are all Vishnu Tattva, possess up to 93%. Lord Shiva, who is neither avatar nor avesh nor in between them, possesses almost 84% of the attributes. So Shiva Tattva is in between. Srila Prabhupada said he's almost Vishnu. that he's between Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. He's his own Tattva, Jiva Tattva. And he has 55 of the 64 qualities that Srila Prabhupada calculates to be almost 84%. But the jivas are the individual living beings in different statuses of life, possess up to the limit of 78% of the attributes. They can possess up to 50 of the 64, but in part, not in full. In other words, like Srila Prabhupada would say, that the living entities have the same qualities as Krishna, but in minute quantity. So the same qualities means not 10% the same qualities, but say 78% the same qualities. But even the qualities they share in common with Krishna, they have in lesser quantity, because they are minute. In the conditioned state of material existence, the living being possesses these attributes in very minute quantity, varying in terms of the pious life of the living being. The most perfect of living beings is Brahma, the supreme administrator of one universe. He possesses 78% of the attributes in full. Other demigods have the same attributes in less quantity, whereas human beings possess the attributes in very minute quantity. The standard of perfection for a human being is to develop the attributes up to 78% in full. The living being can never possess attributes like Shiva, Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. A living being can become godly by developing the 78% transcendental attributes in fullness, but he can never become a god like Shiva, Vishnu, or Krishna. He can become a Brahma in due course. The godly living beings who are all residents of the planets in the spiritual sky are eternal associates of God in different spiritual planets called Haridham and Maheshdham. The abode of Lord Krishna above all spiritual planets is called Krishna Loka Borgo Loka Vrindavan. And the perfected living being, by developing 78% of the above attributes in fullness, and enter the planet of Krishna Loka after leaving the present material body. So the living entities are also expansions of the Supreme Lord, and therefore they have the same qualities as the Supreme Lord, up to 78%. And when we talk about developing the qualities, we really mean revealing the qualities, as we discussed last night in relation to humility. The primary process is to develop Krishna consciousness, because when one is Krishna conscious, he automatically has humility and all the other qualities of Krishna conscious person. But at the same time, we can also practice being humble. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that we should address each other as Prabhu and consider ourselves to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. But not only only should we be humble in dealing with other devotees, we should be humble in general. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said that we should not use the word karmi too much, otherwise we'll start to feel that we're superior to the karmis. And he didn't want us to feel superior, he wanted us to be humble. So the same principle applies to all of the qualities, that they're already inherent in the soul, because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna, but they're covered by the contamination of the modes of material nature. So by removing the cover, purifying ourselves by the process of sadhana bhakti, we can reveal our original spiritual qualities. And when we're completely purified and our original spiritual qualities are fully manifest, then we're eligible to enter the supreme abode of Krishna, Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. And in order to serve Krishna directly, we have to be of the same quality. Like Srila Prabhupada said that in order to enter into fire, you have to be fire. Similarly, in order to enter the spiritual realm, you have to be spiritual. And the good news is that we are already spiritual by constitution, but our spiritual nature has been covered. So we need the process of sadhana bhakti to discover our original spiritual nature. But otherwise, Krishna consciousness is natural. It's not artificial. And in fact, the covering of Maya and the life we lead in competition with Krishna rather than in service to Krishna is artificial. One of the basic instructions of Lord Chaitanya about the living entity to Sanatana Goswami is Jive Swarupai Krishna Nityadas, that by constitution the living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. So right now we're in a diseased condition, thinking that we are Krishna or we can compete with Krishna. But we can cure the disease by chanting Hare Krishna and following the process of devotional service. And then when we're freed from the disease, we realize that, yes, we're the eternal servant of Krishna. sometimes the impersonalists try to eradicate their spiritual individuality because they feel that their spiritual individuality is the cause of their suffering. Because we're individuals, we suffer. Because of ego, we suffer. But Srila Prabhupada explains that yes, we suffer because of false ego, thinking I'm the body, I'm the Lord of all I survey. But we cannot really be free from ego. Ego means the sense of I am. Maybe temporarily we can be free from the sense of ego, but not forever. So we have to change the sense of I am from the false ego, that I am the body or I am the mind, to the real sense of I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And that position we can maintain forever, because that is our natural position. purify ourselves by chanting the holy names of Krishna and by the other practices of devotional service, we can sort of correct or reform our perverted mentality. And instead of wanting to be the enjoyer, we want to be enjoyed by Krishna. Instead of wanting to be the controller, we want to be controlled by Krishna. Instead of wanting to be the possessor, we want to be possessed by Krishna. And that's our natural, healthy condition. So, as we discussed yesterday, in order to understand Krishna's confidential pastime with the cowherd damsels of Vraja, we have to understand that Krishna has a spiritual body, and that the gopis also have spiritual bodies, and there's no lust in their bodies like we have. There's only pure love. And love is the desire to please Krishna, to please the senses of Krishna. And lust is the desire to please our own senses. As Srila Prabhupada says, when we develop our spiritual qualities or reveal our spiritual qualities, we become eligible to enter the pastimes of Krishna. And, you know, with the spiritual body that's already in us in seed form, we are fit to engage in the confidential pastimes of Krishna. And when one sees Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan, one cannot distinguish. I mean, yes, Krishna has his peacock feather and his food and other particular markings. But otherwise, if you see Krishna and the cowherd boys, they look the same. I mean, Krishna has his distinguishing features, but all of them have their distinguishing features. But what makes Krishna Bhagavan is his potencies, which the others do not possess. And it's just like, of course, in the material world, people can misuse their potencies, but still, say if you take the President of the United States, he's also a human being like the rest of us, he's also a citizen like the rest of us, but he has powers that we don't have. You know, if he says, you know, strike, you know, if he tells the armed forces to strike, they strike. We don't have the same potency. So, you know, he's a human being and we're human beings. He's a citizen of the United States, and we're citizens of the United States, but he has potencies that we don't have. So the same way, Krishna is a cowherd boy, and they're also cowherd boys. And in one sense, they're the same. In terms of their pastimes with each other, more or less, they're the same. But Krishna has potencies that the other cowherd boys or the other residents of Vrindavan don't have. But in the Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna forgets that he's God. He forgets that he has such immense potency. And he actually feels that he's a cowherd boy just like the other cowherd boys. Or, you know, a child of cowherds, just like the young ladies of Vrindavan are also daughters of cowherds. And both Krishna and the devotees in Vrindavan are able to enjoy such infinite pastimes by the agency of Yoga Maya, by the agency of Yoga Maya or the spiritual energy of Krishna. The devotees forget that Krishna is God, because if they were aware that Krishna is God, they could never be intimate with him. They would be filled with awe and reverence and fear. So Yoga Maya allows them to forget that Krishna is God, and therefore out of intense love they can treat him just as an equal, as a friend. Or in the case of Nanda and Yashoda and other elderly gopis and gopas, they can treat him like a son, like a child. And in the case of Srimati Radharani and the other sakyas, they can treat him as a boyfriend. But not only does Yoga Maya influence the devotees to forget that Krishna is God, Yoga Maya also influences Krishna. So he also forgets that he's God. And therefore, when the cowherd boys threaten Krishna that if you go home for lunch, just while we're playing, we're never going to play with you again, Krishna becomes afraid, you know. He's not just pretending, but he actually becomes afraid. And in the same way, when Mother Yasoda shows the stick, Krishna also becomes afraid of Mother Yasoda. And he's not just pretending, he actually feels afraid. And same with the gopis. If Srimati Radharani is angry with him, he becomes disturbed. He's actually afraid that, you know, what can I do so that she won't be angry with me? Of course, the anger also is transcendental. We shouldn't misunderstand that. The anger is material. So that is the influence of Yoga Maya. Out of all of Krishna's qualities, the quality of bhakta-vatsalyata, or affection for his devotees, is considered the supreme quality. And Yoga Maya, knowing the ultimate purpose of the Lord, arranges for Krishna to forget that he's God so that he can show favor to the devotees who love him with such intense affection in Vraja. But sometimes Krishna has to remember that he has extraordinary powers, also for the sake of his devotees. Like when there was forest fire, and the cowherd boys appealed to Krishna to save them. If he thought, how can I save them? I'm just a cowherd boy like you. They would have all been consumed by the fire. So at such times, Yoga Maya, again, knowing the purpose of the Lord, to fulfill the desires of the devotees and give pleasure to the devotees, she allows Krishna to remember that I am Krishna, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he can swallow the forest fire without any hesitation. But after the specific purpose is served, Yoga Maya again enters and makes Krishna forget that he's God, and he goes back to playing with the cowherd boys. So the Vrindavan pastimes are very special, and therefore the 10th canto, which is it practically equals, it's definitely the biggest of the canto that deals with Krishna, and especially the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
we are saying there is no lust, only love. Lust only for the sense gratification in the material world. So, in the spiritual world, there is no reproduction, no how the process goes on.
Well, I think there's like two points here, but even in the material world, I can tell you what Srila Prabhupada said. For example, there's the story of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Kardama Muni was a great sage, but when Devahuti wanted to have a son before he left her to take sannyas, he gave her a son. So when disciple wrote Srila Prabhupada that how could such a great sage become overwhelmed by passion, and Srila Prabhupada said he wasn't really overwhelmed by passion, but he thought it his duty to give her a son before he left her, and therefore he did his duty and gave her a son. But I've also heard, say in the case of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had like 10 children or 12 children, that he also had no passion. He was above the modes of passion. But for the sake of a specific purpose, Lord Krishna imbued him with a sense of passion for a specific purpose at a particular time. And then when the purpose was fulfilled, then the passion was withdrawn and he was in his original transcendental position. And out of his household life came Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one sense. So what I thought you were going to ask, and which I think is a better question to answer, is that when you read the Bhagavatam, it seems, and even more so when you read the books of the Goswamis, it seems that Krishna is lusty. The gopis are lusty. And generally, the gopis accuse Krishna of being lusty. But anyway, there's one verse, a very special verse, in the Srimad Bhagavatam at the end of the gopis' songs to Krishna. Because, as you know, Krishna played on his flute and the gopis came to meet him. And, you know, his flute is also one of his messengers. So the sound of the flute is not only beautiful music, but it actually conveys a message. It's a messenger and it conveys a message. And the message that the gopis got when they heard the sound of the flute was, you know, that, you know, Krishna was basically saying that, you know, I want you. So they thought, oh, Krishna wants us. And each one thought that the message was just meant for her. So each one thought, oh, Krishna, Krishna wants me. I have to go to Krishna to satisfy his desire. So they weren't thinking of their desires, they were thinking of his desire. But Krishna actually has no lusty desire either. So anyway, but coming back to the gopis, Gopi Gita, the Gopi songs to Krishna, separation at the end, where they're in the extreme condition of separation. You know, they say that right, but anyway, they pretend to be lusty, let's put it this way. In the Gopi Gita, they, when Krishna leaves them, they say things like, you know, our breasts are burning with desire, so please come and put your feet on our breasts and save our lives. They say things like that. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that all the scriptures proclaim that the gopis' love is completely pure, that they have no selfish desire. So when they make statements that, you know, we're burning in the fire of passion, you know, please, like I said, what is actually happening? And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following example. That suppose a friend comes to visit you at your house, and your friend is actually hungry, and he likes to enjoy good food. Say he likes to enjoy mangoes. Now, if you say to your friend that I know you like mangoes, I'll go to the market and get some mangoes for you. Your friend, out of love for you, out of care for you, will say, no, no, that's all right. That's all right, I'm not hungry, I don't need mangoes, I'm fine. But actually, he wants the mangoes. But he doesn't want to tell you that he wants the mangoes because he doesn't want you to take trouble for him. So, you will say, no, 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 I have mangoes. I was just about to offer them to my deity. It's time for me to offer them to my deity. So let me offer them and then we will have the remnants. So you also want to, you want to satisfy his desire, but you don't want him to think that you're taking trouble for him. Because out of love, he won't want you to take trouble for him. And you, out of your love for him, will want to satisfy his desire and give him mangoes. But you won't want him to know that you're doing it for him, specially. So, the same type of dynamic takes place between the gopis and Krishna. The gopis know that Krishna wants their association. But if they were to say, you know, Krishna, we know you want our association, therefore you played on your flute, and therefore we have come to you, Krishna will say, why did you take so much trouble for me? You shouldn't have taken so much trouble, I'm okay. So, instead of saying that they came because Krishna wanted their association, they tell Krishna that we want your association, as if they want to enjoy with Krishna. But actually, they know that Krishna wanted to enjoy with them. So they only, you could say, pretend to be lusty. But the real desire is to satisfy the desire of Krishna. And of course, Krishna is not lusty either in the mundane sense, but he's lusty to enjoy their devotion. And, you know, their devotion, which is the highest of all types of devotion, is manifest in Madhurya Rasa. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes another point, which is that if you express your love openly, your love will decrease. Therefore, the not, except in the one verse at the end of the Gopi Gita, for example, the gopis do not express their love openly. They don't say, Krishna, we love you, we'll do anything for you. They say, you rascal, you rogue, you get away from us. We're chaste young ladies. We know all about you. Keep away from us. So, again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining why the speech of the gopis may suggest that they're lusty or that Krishna's lusty, when actually none of them is lusty. And here he explains that if you love someone, but if you, like I said, express your love and say, we love you, we'll do anything for you, you're our everything, then the love or the feeling of the love goes down. And if you keep it inside, it goes up. And therefore they say, you know, you rascal, you rogue, you keep away from us. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of a flame that he compares the gopi's love to a flame, or anyone's love to a flame. That if you keep the flame in the house, it will burn bright and strong. But if you bring the flame outside of the door to the house, then the wind will make it waver, and it may actually go out. So therefore, the gopis keep their love inside the house of their hearts. They don't bring it out, because if they bring it out through the mouth, then it may waver in the wind. So these are the confidential explanations. And also it's the characteristic of Madhurya Ras that one party should be agreeable and one party should be disagreeable. Then the Ras goes up. If both agree, there's no Ras. And if both disagree, there's no Ras. So one should be agreeable and one should be disagreeable. Then there's Ras. So when Krishna wants to be with the gopis, they say, get away from us. And when the gopis want to be with Krishna, he says, go home. Go home to your parents, go home to your husbands. What are you doing in the Vrindavan forest at night? Oh, you must have come to see the beautiful moon. Okay, you've seen the moon now you should go home. Your parents will be worried about you. So always one party has to be agreeable and the other has to be disagreeable. Then there's rest. So when Radharani left the Rasa dance, Krishna pursued her because he was in the mood to be agreeable and she was in the mood to be disagreeable. But later, when she said, you know, my dear beloved, now you can take me wherever you want, Krishna thought, what's happening here? She's becoming agreeable. And if I'm agreeable and she's agreeable, the rust will go down. So, she's saying, you can take me wherever you like. She's becoming so agreeable. Then Krishna left her, and he became disagreeable. And that made the rust more. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Sorry? No, your questions are good.